I was introduced to one of the two new friends tonight of Pastor, and the one played the organ. And Skip, I appreciate so much the fact that you could come tonight and that you did play the organ. Thank you very much. It means so much to me. And the other brother that I met, he lives just a short distance from Pastor, and he paid me a real compliment. I know he made a mistake, but he estimated my age at 75. And boy, I mean, I like that. I like that, yeah. And so anyway, I just want you to know that you two brethren that I just met tonight, I'm so pleased to meet you. And then, to you in this audience that have come and come and come, some were not able, and you came two or three times, but I want you to know how much that in each of your cases, how much I appreciate your presence and the fact that you have come. The grosses, they provided for me what I would call the Shirley Savoy Hotel. I mean, it has been delightful. It's private. The only thing that is disturbing are the trains, but I got used to that. And I wondered what that heavy sound of whirring was the first night. And I thought, you know, it sounded like it was right back of the trailer. Well, it was right back of the trailer. But then finally I decided, listen, I'm going to see what that is. And I did get out and walk down the steps. And then I recognized that, boy, I had a tremendous advantage of being short. And the advantage was this, that the trailer, the way it is made, it has a portion that sticks out, and I can walk under that without striking my head. I mean, that was such a delight. I mean, I don't find that often. And boy, when I was able to do that, it made listening to the train a lot better. And so I appreciate that so much. So to you grosses, thank you, thank you, thank you. To Brother Ken, he took me and introduced me to the Centerville restaurant. I said, it's Centerville number 2. And he explained that to me. But I enjoyed it so very, very much. And then Brother Bill did the same thing. And I did kind of push a little bit because I enjoyed it so much. And I just want you to know that in thanking you abundantly, one of the brethren has given me 2 or 3 copies of poems and writings, and I appreciate it so much, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then to Pastor. He and his family, he has gone way beyond abundant grace in taking care of me. I mean it. And I appreciate it so much. And Brother Brubaker, you thought I was going to leave you out. I say, I know. I mean, I saw the frown on his face, so I'm straightening up right now. And he and his family had me here in the kitchen, and we ate. And boy, did I enjoy that. It was so much fun. Got to sit next to one of his sons and his whole family at the table. And sister, I'm still thinking maybe it was chicken fricassee, maybe. She won't admit to it, but it was so good. And you can tell by my figure that I need to eat. And so I just appreciate everything that everybody has done. And Pastor took me out to their house today, and they were all sitting out there on the porch, and I could look out and be there in the woods, and I appreciated it so very, very much. Thank you. If I go to heaven between now and next year, which I've asked the Lord to give me a productive time up through the age of 90, if I go to heaven, then I want you to know that when you get there, right as you enter, I'm going to say to you, what took you so long? And so I'll be glad to see you. I'm glad to see you now. Hope I get to see you here again before I take flight. One of these days, I'm going to fly away. Oh, glory. So all of those comments, I want you to accept them as from the very bottom of my heart in all sincerity. Genesis is the book. Tonight, perhaps in some ways, the thoughts of tonight's message laid upon my heart, perhaps are more serious to me than nearly anything that I can think of. That's true. When we consider Genesis chapter 12, and it runs through actually the account from chapter 12 up through chapter 17, but when we go through it, we're going to look at the life of a man who is central in the Bible. He is central. He began in a community that was loaded with idols. And his name was Abram. And then in time, God changed it. But when that took place, there is something that sometimes I'm fearful that we overlook about him. There is such a thing for you and for me where God makes himself particularly real in our inner being. Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to tell you about visions. No way. But God will, if you really draw nigh to God, really, I mean really, I'm talking about laying aside all of what troubles you, laying aside all of what excites you. I'm talking about the focus of your attention in such a manner that you give God a chance in your life, since you have been born again, since you have been saved, and you give God a chance to speak to you in the Spirit, not audibly. You won't hear his voice, but you will not mistake his presence. You will not. And tonight we'll deal with that. So let's pray. Father, thank you. The goodness of our God. It's really beyond our understanding. And tonight, when we meet together like this in this local assembly, we want our hearts to be knit to the necessity of being consciously aware of your person. We recognize that you are a spirit and that no one sees you. We know that. And those folks that worship you, meaning us, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We understand that. But we also recognize that there is a way by which somehow you make yourself and your presence much more meaningful to us than oftentimes it is because of the rush of the day. Deliver us from the rush tonight. Help us. Indeed, help us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Abram has an encounter with God 4,000 years ago. And he really, in this encounter, if you really pay attention, if you really think about it, this encounter stands also for every believer. There have been times in my life when God was particularly near in my conscious awareness. Now, I'm not talking about a vision, so don't jump the fence there. I'm talking about that way by which only God can make himself known in our inner being. And that has taken place sometimes in my own life and very likely in many of yours. Abram was eager from the very depths of his soul. He was eager and willing to really be what God wanted him to be. Now, you please understand, I'll explain a little bit later. He was raised with idols all around him. All around him. And somehow through the events and through the presence of God, he had a thought for fellowship. I'm sure he did not understand it, but he did have that thought. And he was encouraged. And he desired somehow to this one, with this one, he desired to be obedient to God, which ought always become every believer's strong desire. Did you catch that? In my heart and for the day and for the week and for next week, more than anything that I know anything about, I do honestly want to draw nearer to God. I do. And by the way, what I want, God wants also. He does. You draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. That's my desire, Pastor. And I'm going to be thrilled for whatever God does when it comes to that particular process. I want to look a little bit and examine some of the details in Abram's life, his encounter with God. And I know that I'm going to find myself at the center as I think about this and at the heart of the living God. And I want to remember that he, when this took place, he was still Abram. Still. And he was living in what is now called Syria. And he was completely surrounded with this wide variety of gods. And there 2,000 years before the Savior came, with no Bible and no church and no God-honoring song, as Pastor mentioned tonight, and no godly religious tradition for guidance and no counselor available. And he had only his own empty, hungry heart, and God spoke to him audibly. Now that is something. You talk about a surprise. I mean, he knew nothing like you know tonight. And suddenly this startling occasion with God speaking to him. And God's word tells us that he heard the word of the Lord. That's audible communication. He heard the word. And from the living, eternal God who fills the universe, from that wonderful creator, this revelation that took place, it causes us to realize, if we really think it through, it causes us to realize that there is more to it than the rush that it takes to go to work. There is more to it than that. And when we settle back and settle down and begin to muse, meditate upon some of the facts in the truth of God, the scripture, and we begin to sense a desire on the part of God that he would like to use us in a further way, and suddenly there's something strict that strikes in our own heart like the match when you take the match and rub it across something rough, and there is a flame. There's an ember on the inside of you, and you're thrilled with the presence of God, and you're thrilled with the fact that you've been born again, and you're thrilled with the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within you, and he persuades you, and he leads you, and he guides you, and he giveth songs in the night. You're thrilled about all of that. And you realize, whoa, this right now is not all there is. And when that takes place, you'll be a different person. You will. And it won't be same old. And there was a time in Abram's life before church denominations, before forms of worship, things that you and I, we take them for granted, do we not? You know, I was thinking about it not long ago. My wife and I, we've been married for 63 years. And I caught myself when I left the house of walking out the door, Pastor, without saying to her, "Hey, darling, I'm going, and I'll see you in a little while." And I stopped and I thought, you may not see her again here. She's not well. She's not deathly ill, but she's not well. And when I began to realize that, it struck conviction in my heart. God has been so wonderfully good to give to me her. as God has been so wonderfully good to give to you yours. And with suddenly that realization, I turned around and went back inside. And when I went inside, she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing what I failed to do." She said, "What do you mean?" And I walked over and I grabbed her and I squeezed her hard. In fact, maybe too hard for her comfort, but I did anyway. And when I did, I just want you to know, my dear, I love you so much. And she was almost shocked. And I'm sure she must have been thinking, what does this mean? I knew what it meant. And I determined right then that I'm not going to do that again. When I leave that house and she's inside, I'm going to bid her farewell in a special way. Don't you think that's right?
Hello.
Amen. Okay, so when Abram senses this difference, and it represented this, God was about to do something very special in a sinful world, and he wanted a man, Abram, he wanted a man who would believe and trust and obey. Hear me. Just because God is God. That's why. Now, that's important, do you not think? Just because God is God. Not because of what he does, because of who he is. And with God's looking and drawing nigh, Abram didn't know yet to draw nigh to God himself. He'll be told by God later to do that, but he didn't know it then. And when God spoke to him and God dealt with him, God wanted Abram to be in fellowship with himself. And Abram heard God say, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect or complete. I will make a covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly and make you a father of many nations." That's what I intend to do in making you what I intend to make you. And so this man Abram, he had a glorious continuing experience with God, and in a special way, the various times that they had an experience that were real and real valuable, and yet could be the same for us on this day, but we're so busy. We're so busy. He giveth songs in the night. And we're so busy that sometimes we don't even hear them. One of the ladies, we were talking about the song, "When They Ring Those Golden Bells for You and Me." What does that mean? And what does it mean to sing the song and be aware of, is that wedding bells that I hear? Talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so, Abram receiving from God those utterances. And Abram is having an experience. Experience meaning conscious awareness. That's it. Conscious awareness. Awareness within a person's conscious intelligence. And Abram was consciously aware of God and this presence, this revelation. He was aware that the living God had stepped over the threshold into a personal encounter with a man who found the desire within himself to know God intimately and to believe God and to live for God and to see the effect of Almighty God in his life using him in such a manner. And so here this man, Abram, he was prepared to pay any price that was required for the privilege of knowing God, and he recognized the lofty, holy character of the Creator and the Revealer, who was God himself. And what was the effect? Here is the effect. He fell on his face in a reverent, submissive manner, in a tender way. And there's not a better picture in all the scripture, in the Word of God, of the right place for mankind and the right place for God. God on the throne speaking and Abraham on his face listening. Amen. And that's what Crabtree needs. And that's what you need. And when you and I are on our face listening, we're not strutting. And we're not bragging. And we're not full of ourselves. We're instead encountering him who is all and in all. So, knowing this position, where God and man are in this relationship, this is the ideal. Do you believe that? This is the ideal. Somehow, there is more to it than what I know. But I want to know. I have a longing and a yearning and a desire to know more. I do. And you know what I'm discovering? The more that I want this and the more that I endeavor to draw nigh to him and he draws nigh to me, you know what it does? It makes me draw nigh to my wife more so. And it makes me, in a very special, indescribable way, draw nigh to you people. This is not playtime. Nothing could be more serious than what's being said tonight in this room. And I want it to be so with me. Pastor, I want to treat people right. I am longing to obey the statement, be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. And the life of some people is so filled with heartache that they can hardly face the days that come. And could I, because of His presence, because of His in me, being what He and who He is, could I not be the type person who would say what ought be said and the words would be just right, born by the Holy Spirit using my lips, that it brings encouragement to that person? Wouldn't that be good? I mean, wouldn't that be good for not only Crabtree, but wouldn't that be good for you? And when that is so, and my drawing nigh to Him is evident, it isn't something that I need to talk about. It's something that is sensed. And so, with the lack of this, and there is a lack of this, this probably explains why there are so many, and there are so many shallow, empty Christians in our day. There are. And dissatisfied people, men, women, even children that are in our churches who exhibit little delight in the things of God, and to them Christianity is rather humdrum, ho-hum, monotonous, and is a religious practice. Now, I travel, so I do have some advantage over you. I'm in all kinds of different places. I'm in, not just churches, but I mean, in a truck stop, in a fuel station, in a restaurant, and so much of my life, when I'm away from home, it's by myself. There isn't anybody with me. Of course, my Lord. But humanly speaking, there is nobody with me. And see, you don't know what I do. You don't know what I look at. But He does. And I am so concerned about this, Pastor, that I want to be so careful that I please Him in what I look at and in what I say and in where I go. Now, would you tell me, is there anything wrong with that? When you and I get to glory, you'll be obedient. So will I. And there won't be any choice. You'll be obedient. And you'll be thrilled, and you'll sing the Hallelujah chorus, all four parts at the same time. And it'll be a blessing and joy. But God wants us to so draw nigh to Him now that it is not a shock when we get there. Hello? You say, well, God has a way of preparing us. He has a way of preparing us now. That's why we have the scripture. That's why we have a church. That's why we have relationship when fellowship. That's a part of the preparation when it comes to equipping the saints so that we can stand true and do what's right no matter what comes our way.
Amen.
And so I relate to Abraham. I relate to that, and I just want to recognize that in anything that God does that grips my heart, in His presence, in His way, in His work, that any kind of an encounter with Almighty God is so meaningful, that it is a part of the preparation that God is doing in my heart and in my life to make me a better child of God, to make me a better servant. And I want to be a better servant. Now I have this question. Do you? Do you, in your heart, longing, yearning, do you want to be a better servant? I mean, do you want to, in a wonderful way, experience the presence of Almighty God who fills all things with that are available in any sense of the word? Do you want that? You do realize that the process brought Abram, who became Abraham, to the place where he was called by God, the friend of God. I would like to be called the friend of God. Would you? And with your desire and with your drawing nigh and with your obedience, you don't treat lightly anything at all that God does. We drove today from here to Pastor's house, and Melissa and the family, except Zeke, he was at work, sitting outside there, and I sat down with them in the sunlight, and they told me about some snow that broke some limbs and so forth. And I looked into the faces of each of those children, from the eldest to the youngest. And I cannot tell you, young people, what a blessing and what a joy it was for me to do so. And I could envision the playing of that violin. And I could envision them. And I could envision them. And I cannot adequately tell you how much it meant to me. And it's all possible and also because of this one that first drew nigh to Abraham. He's the same today. He wants to do the same things today. He wants to use a group like this, each one of you personally. He wants to use you for His honor and for His glory to make a great difference in a dying world that is broken. That's what He wants. He wants to save. He wants and will keep. But He wants the people of God to, in a very special and wonderful manner, represent the work of God on the face of the earth. That's what He wants. And in longing for that to be so, you have to make a decision. You have to decide that you want to draw nigh to God. You do. The fact that God chose first to do it, He later tells Abraham to do it. So here is God. Abraham doesn't know yet. And God is speaking. And God is acting. And as He does so later, He says to Abraham, "Now I want you to draw nigh to Me. I chose first to draw nigh to you. Now I want you to draw nigh to Me." How many folks do you suppose do that? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about in a relationship that is as sweet as anything on the face of the earth could be. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not chiding you. But do you do that? And if not, then I'm speaking to myself just as well as I'm speaking to you. If not, why not? I am appalled at the callousness of many a believer. It's a callousness that's like a callus in your hand after you've worked hard and you rub the same place on a piece of wood as you work, and finally it develops a callus. And when you develop a callus, it's not nearly as sensitive as it was before you developed the callus. I don't want to be calloused. No. I want to be tender and loving and kind and gracious and amiable and all that God expects me to be. And He's given me enough information in the love letter that He gave to us that I have no doubt about what I'm supposed to be. And I can read the list and I can pray through it and I can get out a pencil and paper and I can write down, do I or do I not do this? Do I or do I not do this? Do I or do I not do this? And I can go through that list and I come up short every time. And I want to come up less short every time. Huh? I mean, what's wrong with that? The magnificent Father, Son, Spirit in all the universe, there's none like them. When I have a heartache, Then the songwriter comes to me. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black with sin? Has Christ come within? Has He come within to stay? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, and He sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. And when it gets to the place where it overcomes me, I thank God for it. Because there's nothing like it. I can't find that at the ice cream store. I can't find that at the Centerville restaurant. No. I mean, I can find some things that are enjoyable, but I can't find that. And I just want in my thinking, I just want in my living, and in my singing, and in my shaking hands with different people, I just want to respond to God, who is the one who said to Abraham, I want to tell you something that's very important. You were made, we were made in the image of God, and we were designed for a single purpose, to worship, to serve, and to glorify God. You know, it's amazing. Now we are surrounded by all kinds of things. We are. You know that. And these things that we're surrounded, let's understand something. They are at their best when they are used for the purpose for which they were made. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? I mean this. A piano is at its best when the music is played. It is not as is at its best when it's a platform for flowers. No. I mean, our ears are at their best when we're listening. Not just to hold our glasses in place. And so, if one does not honor God's design and purpose for life, then that life will degenerate into shallow, selfish, humanistic pursuits. And so God was saying, Abraham, commit your whole life and future into my hands, and let me, as your creator, sustainer, let me fulfill in you my perfect design. And it is my great desire that you become a faithful and a delighted worshiper at my throne. And the master design for each of us in this room tonight, are we willing to worship Him and glorify Him? The principle is this: patience has to be tested.
manifested. And humility has to be manifested. And faith must be strengthened. And so before we're ready to enter into God's best for us, we need to use rightly what God has given us if we desire Him to give us more. That's it.
And so, tonight, in this closing, loving you as I do, and I do, whether you like it or not, I do. And it doesn't matter if you make a face at me, I don't care. I'm going to love you anyway. And the reason I'm going to love you anyway is because you're in the family of God. And you are my brothers and sisters. And I'm thrilled for what I can learn from you. And you better be thrilled with what you can learn from God. Let's pray. Our Father, please. Please. Without doubt, without hesitancy, could we even on this night with purpose decide that in our whole being, as your servant, could we somehow just say, look, whatever it may mean, I am going to do what God wants me to do. And I do tonight, even tonight, I want to draw nigh to God. That's really what I want. And you would say that to God right now. And you would evidence that on Saturday and Sunday. Because He means more to you than anything else. Would you do that, Pastor?